Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are we all doing?
Great.
Good. Good to see you all. You guys can open up to Colossians chapter 1 this morning. If you're here for class, I told you we began our New Testament overview on the book of Colossians. And when I was preparing for class, I read this verse in chapter 1 of verse 1. Lets us know Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, the authors of the letter, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So I read that, and I don't typically get too caught up in greetings, but as we've been going through the New Testament overview, we've gone through who wrote the letter, who it was written to, and the last few have been addressed in a slightly different way, rather than maybe just the church of God, which is at Corinth. And here in Colossae, the letter was written to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And I don't know about you, but that means something to me. And when the Holy Spirit put together the Word of God, I don't think that, you know, He just casually picked out words and just threw labels around. I believe from the very beginning of time that God has always been very careful with His words. How about you? And if you're not convinced, what did God create the world with? His words. He spoke it, and it came forth. The Christians in this city, and by extension, the Christians in Billings, are saints and faithful brethren. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for what you have done on our behalf, for the freedom that you have given us. Jesus teaches that anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we have been freed from our sin. And we now have freedom to move forward in faith. Lord, I'm grateful that we have the freedoms that we do have to move about as much as we can and to be able to actively pursue the things that we want to do, even though we are taxed at every turn. Lord, we're thankful for that. But Lord, we're ultimately thankful for our spiritual freedom. You have set us free. But you have also called us for a purpose. Saints and faithful ones. May we consider that this morning. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our King. Amen. Saints and faithful brethren, that's what I want to talk about. The Scriptures always reinforce the positive image of Christians. Have you guys noticed that? The Scriptures always reinforce the positive image of the Christian. The Scriptures don't run around calling you a bunch of losers and sinners and black-hearted sinners. It says that you are saints and holy ones, forgiven ones, faithful ones. And that positive image is so important because we always act in accordance with the internal picture that we have of ourselves. We know that. Even people who study the human mind know that. But God created us that way because He wants us to conform into the image of His Son. So one of those pictures that God gives us is a saint. God wants us to think of ourselves as saints. What does saint mean? It means holy person. It means a holy one. Now look, you're not so holy because of how awesome you are. You are holy because of what God has done in your life. If you've been immersed into Christ Jesus and your sins have been forgiven and He has placed His Holy Spirit in you by faith, He has removed your past. He has forgiven you of your sins and He has set you free. He has done that. But make no mistake, He has done that. And so because He lives in us, He sees us as His holy ones. But that can be difficult sometimes to wrap your head around, right? I remember when I was a new Christian, I studied with Luke for a number of years and then, you know, continued to bounce questions off him as I was a young Christian and growing and learning through the scriptures. And I remember the first time he had to email me some stuff. He said, hey, you know, I want to send some of these scriptures and stuff to you, and I want you to check this stuff out. I said, okay, what's your email? He said, stluke@yahoo.com. And I was like, who does this guy think he is? This guy walks around calling himself a saint. Well, now I know why. He didn't give himself that title, did he? God did. God calls you his saints. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, boy, I sure haven't been a holy person this week. Well, you got to understand, God's working in the present positive affirmative nature, where he wants you to see yourself that way. And if you will transform into that picture you have. But if you see yourself as a loser, you will always act as a loser. Because the language associated around losers is always the same. And it always sounds like this. And the deck's always stacked against you. And everybody's always out to get you. And it's not fair. And I never win. But that's not the picture God wants you to have. It's addressed to the saints. This might be of interest to you. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 4. You know, sometimes, I know for me, when I see what God says in the New Testament, and then I can go and find it in the Old Testament and see he predicted it ahead of time, that really reinforces for me what God's plan is for his church. Now, Isaiah chapter 4 is a really cool chapter. And if you look in verse 2, if you ever have a question about verse 1, I can explain that. Verse 2, he says, in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful. Raise your hand if branch is capitalized in your Bibles, as if it's a proper noun. Okay, because that is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Branch in the Old Testament is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ and his church. So in that day, when Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of God and establishes his kingdom, okay, in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion, Hebrews tells us that Zion is also a reference to the church, okay, he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. So even 740 years before Jesus establishes his church, it was predicted through the prophet Isaiah that Jesus' followers would be called holy. And so when he writes to the church in Colossae, he refers to them as saints or holy ones. If you go over to Matthew chapter 5, here's the way I think of it. Jesus teaches us that you will know a tree by its fruit. People talk, right? Maybe a lot of people are living the glory days. You know, back in my day, I was the state class C world's fastest sprinter in the 400, you know. Okay, big deal. But people talk. And at the end of the day, talk is cheap. And you will know a tree by its fruit. God has called us to bear fruit. Amen? That's in the New Testament. We must see ourselves in the proper perspective that God wants us to see ourselves so that we can bear the fruit of that. If we see ourselves as sinners, we will just continue to sin. That's not good fruit. So God wants you to first see yourself as holy. And then if you will live in accordance with that internal picture, you will bear the fruit of that. So when I think about this in a big picture sense, and maybe kind of zoom out for a minute, Do we as God's church really understand, as you look at the magnitude and the scope and sequence of the history of mankind, through the church, God finally has a people who can bear the fruit of His kingdom? You've got massive names in the Old Testament, like Abraham, Esther, David, and Moses. And they all fell short. And the Bible gives us those stories too. The church really is a people that God finally has that can bear the fruit of the kingdom that God has given us and finally glorify His name. Did Israel, the Old Testament, ever fully glorify God's name? No. No. They always profaned His name through their idol worship and their pagan rituals and sacrifices. You see, you, brethren, are the group of individuals that God has that can finally bear the fruit of the kingdom that has been given to you and glorify the name of God. How important is that to you? And how big of a responsibility? See, these are the thoughts I have when I think about this. Just from Saint in Colossae. You have the potential. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." I don't know what you have looked to this week in Ood and Odd, but you are the light of the world. You are the thing that matters. You are the thing that glorifies God. You are the thing that brings light into darkness. You. That's kind of cool, isn't it? But we do know our own shortcomings sometimes, and we have our own internal struggles. And sometimes we fail to see the weight of what God really has called us to do, which is we can shine the light of the glory of His name in this life. Have you ever maybe caught yourself worrying a little too much about what other people think? Can I give you something that's really helped me in my life? Nobody's thinking about you. They're too busy thinking about themselves. Well, I'm right. They walked in and they're like, "Did I put deodorant on today? Can people smell me?" You know, I mean, I'm only 37, but I was walking out today and I saw myself in the mirror and I was like, there's some eyebrow hairs that I should probably get around to pulling out. You know, and things are kind of white and getting long. You know, people walk in and they're really only thinking about themselves. You know, do I look presentable? Do I smell? You know, they're not really worried about you. They're worried about themselves. And I don't mean that like if you worried about your eyebrows this morning that you're selfish. You know, what I'm trying to say is sometimes it's easy for us to miss the message that God has for us because we see our shortcomings and we're really enveloped in those things to really see what's happening around us. And what's happening around us is God has raised you from the dead. He has given you spiritual liberty. He has given you His Holy Spirit to go out and to glorify His name, and He just wants you to know it and to remember it. And that you are the light of the world. The world needs you. I need you. We need each other. The latter part of verse 14, he says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." God gets the glory because of your fruit. God wants you to shine your light. Back to Colossians chapter 3. I think the St. Luke at, I'll leave the numbers out so you don't flood his inbox. stluke@yahoo.com. I think that story really does, it's the perfect illustration because, you know, we don't want to be those who have like a holier than thou attitude either, right? You know, you don't want to be so spiritual, you don't want to be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. You know, you've seen that before where, you know, you've got like an earthly need right in front of you or a person right in front of you, but you're just so spiritually minded. You're not seeing what's right in front of you. You know, we don't want to be, you know, I'm a saint. You know, we don't want to have that pretentious attitude. That's not what it is. So because we are humble, we are a little afraid sometimes to adopt the proper picture that God has for us. But it is one that he does want us to have. Now, if you're struggling with that, and you're not going to, you know, your next email account, you're still not going to call yourself SaintElijah@gmail.com. Okay. SaintBraden@yahoo.com. That's fine. I haven't done it yet. I'm still Nolan.Tool@iCloud.com. Okay. But my point is, if you're still struggling with that, it's not because you're so awesome that you're a saint. It's because of what God is doing in your life. And Colossians chapter 3 puts that, in the proper perspective here. In verse 5, he says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. It is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you once walked when you were living in them." See, before you became a Christian, these are the things you did. And it's the life that you walked, but that is not your life anymore because you've been redeemed from those things. You are now a holy one, a saint. In verse 8, he says, "Now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Well, that's kind of cool. Go back to chapter 2. In case you don't know this, in verse 10, the Bible teaches, "In Christ Jesus, you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." So circumcision means cut off. And the circumcision is made without hands, which means God made the operation. Okay, because you have hands, God doesn't have hands. Okay? It's a spiritual cutting off. So, you've been made complete in Christ Jesus when a spiritual cutting off takes place. He says, what's cut off? In the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All those things that we just read in chapter 3, right? The gossip, the evil, the slander, all that. Those sins, that past, the sinner. That person is cut off and removed. That's what's being cut off, the body of flesh. And you're made complete because God makes you whole. And in verse 12, he says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." Back to chapter 3. So what Colossians teaches us is that happens the moment you are baptized into Christ Jesus. See, it's a little different than what the world teaches. Many of us, maybe in this room, were baptized as babies. Maybe at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. Okay, at 7 years old, did you have any idea that God was removing the sinner and creating a saint? Because that's exactly what happened. That's the moment that takes place. It's the moment you become a Christian. And what he's removing is the sinner. And he's making you complete in Christ Jesus. So in chapter 3, it's talking about laying aside the things that were removed. He says, okay, we're in chapter 3. So he says in verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body dead. Why would your earthly body be dead? Because the flesh was what was cut off in your baptism. And when the flesh is removed, the things that come with it, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, monstrosity, he says, stop doing that. In verse 7, he says, you once walked. And in verse 8, but now put aside the anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie. You laid aside the old self. When did you lay aside the old self? When you were immersed into, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus. You laid that aside. He's like, put that stuff away. Bear fruit for God. In verse 10, okay, I take off a pair of socks and I put on a new pair of socks. So if we're going to put off the old man, and verse 10 says, put on the new man. The new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Please understand that verse. What you are putting on is according to the picture of God. He says it is according to the image of the one who created him. Who's the one who created you? God. Who's the one who made you new in your baptism? God. That's the context that's running through from chapter 2 to 3. Okay, so God is the one who has created him. What's an image? It's a picture. So what picture are you supposed to be having? The one of God. Do you see why he calls you a holy one? Because he has placed his image on you. So if you're struggling with calling yourself a holy person because maybe you messed up yesterday and said a bad word, or maybe you do suffer from greed, which amounts to idolatry, maybe whatever. Okay, pray for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit intercedes, continually making you new. And that's God's gift to us, that he does that. And he has given us his Spirit to do that. But you don't get to degrade the image that you have of yourself. And if you're struggling with this image of somehow I'm some holy person from God in the midst of all of my shortcomings, you have to understand it's not because of what you do so awesome that makes you great. It's because God indwells you. It's in accordance to the picture of him, not you. But he wants us to understand that. In chapter 1, we read, the recipients of the letter were called saints. They were called holy ones. And it starts with having the proper perspective and title and understanding of who you've been created to be. But they were also faithful. Faithful brethren. You know, I just have some comments and some illustrations here. But how important are faithful brethren in the kingdom of God? You know, there's people traveling for the holidays and for a wedding, and we're not necessarily light this morning, but I can feel the absence of some people in this congregation this morning. Can you? I can. Look, when you're not here, you're missed. And like was said this morning, sometimes there's 150 of you, so you got to be gone 2 weeks before we notice you're gone. Those things happen. That's a lot of people. And some of us are still trying to learn everyone's name. Well, you know, and keep working on that, right? It's like Larry said. I mean, he's not trying to call you out. He's just trying to say, if you don't know what's going on in someone's life, how well do you really know them? That's not a shot at you. That's a, hey, if you really genuinely want to get to know somebody, that's probably a good place to start. Like, do I even know what they're going through right now? My own personal litmus test is, you know, do I even know where you work? You know, because that's something we kind of always talk about, right? We talk about our jobs because we spend so much time there. But when you are not here, you are missed greatly. And what you bring to the kingdom matters so much. Because, you know, look, what am I trying to say? He could have addressed this letter like he does the other however many. But he makes a special point. The Holy Spirit makes a special point to address them as faithful brethren. And faithful brethren are so important to the kingdom of God, particularly in local congregations. I've got, I think it's towards the end of August when we'll do the picnic in the park, which is always one of my favorite evenings of the year. You get to play volleyball and the games. I remember one year, it was 2 or 3 years ago, we got there, and we had everything we needed except one thing. Nobody brought the burger flippers. So we're sitting there with all the watermelon you could eat for a year, right? The cheeseburgers, the brats, the cheese, the buns, the ketchup, the mustard. You guys showed up, the Mountain Dew that could fill a fountain. And none of it. We couldn't do any of it because we don't have a burger flipper. You know, and I remember because we used to live on 24th Street, off of 24th Street there, so we were close, so we went home and brought some burger flippers from the house. But that's how important your part is. Not that if you were supposed to bring the burger flippers, I'm still, you know, remembering that about you. But that if something's not there, it's missed, right? But the reality is like the picnic in the park is a really good example because people bring grills and drinks and treats and burger flippers and cheese and the volleyball. We missed a volleyball one year. I remember that. I remember these things because I'm the one that like frantically runs to the house to grab them. Okay. You know, it's a good illustration for, you know, maybe you just didn't feel like coming on Wednesday. You know, it's like not having the burger flipper or the volleyball. You know, we'll make it do and we'll go play horseshoes, but I'd way rather play volleyball. I'd way rather you were here. I don't know, I try not to be too negative. I can be a little negative sometimes, but I want you to look at this from maybe the negative for a minute. Not that, you know, negativity motivates, but think about this. Think about your workplaces. How about the ones that call out all the time and don't show up? I mean, we're talking about faithful brethren, right? How about the ones that, you know, at work that just don't even show up? Is that frustrating? You know what's even more frustrating about that? Where does their work get shifted to? You. And all you did was show up. So now the people who are there doing the right thing are kind of really being punished, right? Because their coworkers aren't being faithful. What I'm not saying is that if you didn't come today, that somehow you gave me your overtime work. What I'm saying is you're missed. And even from a human perspective, from like a work perspective, where a lot of you guys are giving 50, 60 hours a week, like at a core level, you kind of got to show up, don't you? To be faithful. You really do. How about the ones that are always late? 20 minutes late, City Brew coffee in hand. That one stings for me. Now look, you know, and the interesting thing is, you know, we're typically 10, 15 minutes early. There was one morning, probably, 6 months ago, we were 15 minutes early. So we said, let's go to City Brew and let's buy, it was actually the Wojciechowskis. I'd found out what Mike drinks, and I'm like, let's go get them a coffee. And then we sat in that drive-thru line for guess for how long? 15 minutes. So then I walked into assembly late with a City Brew coffee in my hand. And it wasn't even for me. Maybe some of you saw that. I don't know. But let's look at this from the habitual coworker who is 20 minutes late and has the coffee in hand, and they weren't late because they sat in the drive-thru for 15 minutes, and it's not for you, it's for them. Okay, can we do that for a minute? It shows you how important that coffee is to them, doesn't it? And so you guys might be tired of the reminder, but a tree is known by its fruit. You will always do the things that are the most important to you. And what the church needs is faithful brethren. And if that's something that you take seriously, you'll do it. Just like City Brew Coffee is serious to some people. And they'll willingly be 20 minutes late to work in order to still get it. So that's kind of looking at it from like maybe the more negative side, but let's flip that and use these examples to tell us like, hey, if we are fervent and excited about the kingdom of God and really want to be faithful to God, we will act in the same way, but in a good way. First ones there can rely on us. If we our yes is our yes and our no's are no's, and you can count on us and we'll be there for you. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, I'm a little willing to maybe push sometimes because something that I believe I really have a firm grasp on is the weight of the spiritual battle. Okay? And sometimes the only way to remind people of how severe this is like, just look what the world is doing. Okay. I got 5 minutes, so I'm going to do this. I get news. I've primarily stay off of, social media. I have Facebook, but I only have access to it on my desktop computer. And so I'm usually on once a day, once every other day. And I've kept it because I've gotten rid of Facebook at times. And then the church Facebook page is a really valuable tool for me. Okay? So, but I don't have it on my phone because it just, it's a nuisance. So I get a lot of news stories sent to me. And I got a very interesting one that I came across this week. There is... Okay, so maybe many of you have heard of the game Call of Duty. Now, I don't play it. I played it when I was like 20. But it's a really popular game. And what the games have done, what the games are doing these days, is they're offering kids free video games. So you can get this game for free. Which is different. When I was growing up, video games were $59.99, and they have been $59.99 for like since they were released. And that's just what you paid. And then you stood in line at GameStop, and then you just waited, and that's how you got your $60 game. They changed one character, and then they released the next year's version, and then they charge you another $60. What they're doing now is they are giving you the game for free, and then they're encouraging you to buy stuff in the game. Okay, now that doesn't surprise you. Now, with the evolution of social media, people are playing these games on the internet, and then they're broadcasting it so you can watch them play a game. It's like, I know, hanging with me here. So what Call of Duty did is they released these avatars that look like these internet influencers, and you can download their avatar. You can be them. Cool. So you're a 13-year-old kid. You watch YouTube, and you can buy this skin, they call it, okay? So this parent-teacher conference meeting goes down where they're trying to get, 5- and 6-year-olds to figure out whether they're boys or girls. So the parents kind of come up and band together, and they're like, knock it off. Well, a fist fight breaks out at the meeting. You guys see that? Who saw that this week? Okay. Well, it's actually been a couple weeks now. A fist fight breaks out because the parents are like, knock it off. That's my job. Teach them social studies. One of these Call of Duty influencers gets on Twitter and says, leave little children alone. That's what the tweet said. You guys in 1 Peter chapter 5? Who's prowling around like a roaring lion? The devil. And what's he doing? He's looking for you so he can devour you. Right now, 5 seconds from now, and every moment of every day, that is his objective. He wants to kill you and destroy your life, rip apart your marriage, and make sure your kids don't go to heaven. And that's what he spends every waking moment of his life doing, is destroying. How important is the unified body of Christ comprised of faithful brethren who are standing in defense against the true enemy and monster, the devil? Feeding your kids garbage on the internet so he can devour them. The tweet said, leave little kids alone. Do you know what Call of Duty did? They took that influencer's bundle off of their game and said, we will no longer support this person. We are going to celebrate Pride Month. One of the largest gaming developers in the world, Activision and Call of Duty, took their Pride Month stand this month. And you know what's even more sickening about it? Is they, do you realize how big this company is? It's not like some rogue, you know, internet activist on their payroll got a hold of Twitter and said, we're going to take down this influencer stuff off our page and celebrate Pride Month. They actually took the stuff off their game servers, which means every executive, every person at the top of every branch sat in a meeting together and said, we are going to do this. And they came to that conclusion because six-year-olds were being told that they could be boys or girls. Do you see how sick that is? That somehow in their mind, telling six-year-olds somehow equates to Pride Month. Is there a connection between those things? Not really. Not really. Like, if you understand the trans movement, of course, there's a connection there. But that's not what the tweet insinuated. The tweet said, leave little kids alone. Makes you wonder who's sitting in those board meetings and took offense to a tweet that says, leave little kids alone. That's what I'm trying to say. So, maybe you know the church is called Holy Ones. Maybe you consider yourself faithful. And I hope we all do. But the reason why I bring it up is because the weight of the spiritual battle weighs on me. And that is what we are up against. And sometimes to get us to remind ourselves of this, we have to hear stories like that. To understand that that's happening right now in our life, in our generations. This is the world our kids are growing up, and that is what we are up against right now when we walk out those doors. How important are faithful brethren, banded together for the name and cause of Christ Jesus, to glorify his name. What do you think? How important? So I encourage you, do your part. Your part matters. When you're not here, you're missed. When you do your part, you are sowing spiritual sowings, and you might not see them, but I am telling you, it matters in the spiritual battle. And you do these good things and you reach out to people and you help them, and many times they don't even know it's you, and it can feel like you're not making a difference. I promise you, you are. Because the battle, it's brutal. It's brutal. But the Lord needs faithful brethren. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, Lord, we think about the fact that you indwell your church. We have got your Holy Spirit called alongside to help. We are the light of the world, the city set on a hill. That's not a comment from arrogance or pride. It's the fact that we who have your Spirit, who are the support of truth, through our good deeds and our faith, can glorify your name. And we can point to you and say, we have peace through our God. And we have joy through our Lord. And we can glorify your name. Lord, I'm just also so grateful for the brethren locally and around the world that comprise your church. And just so grateful for the reminder that our part matters. It was brought out so well in the stewardship today of the things that we do. You know, Larry said we can't mow Jesus' lawn or go fix his gutters. But the cool thing about Jesus is he says, to the very much you have done this to the least of these, you have done them to me. And so through us serving one another and being faithful with one another and sharing the word of God, when we do these things, we indeed are doing them to you and for you, which is the example that he leaves in John 13. Lord, may we be excited to glorify your name, to do the things that are pleasing in your sight, and to represent your name as your ambassadors, to fight the good fight, and to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to get all excited.